Item number eight, giant Pacific octopus. This is a briefing. We've got it scheduled for 45 minutes, and I think we're going to need that amount of time, so we'll just have to delay lunch and then come back from lunch a little late and hope we can make up the time this afternoon. Craig Burley.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Director Anderson, Deputy Director Storr. For the record, my name is Craig Burley. I'm the Fish Management Division Manager in the Fish Program. And this briefing today is a continuation of discussions that we had at the January Commission meeting. At that time, I provided you a briefing on giant Pacific octopus. There was a harvest of a giant Pacific octopus at Seacrest Cove at Alki Beach last fall. And as an outcome of that, we heard from the public an interest in looking at protection of this species in areas where we have our dive community. At the January meeting, I did provide information that our best available data would indicate that there's not an over-harvest issue associated with giant Pacific octopus in Puget Sound, but that the Commission did provide direction for the Department to establish a public process to seek input and see if there are options for providing some protection for giant Pacific octopus for watchable wildlife or viewing opportunities. And so what I'd like to do then today is present some draft management options that staff have developed working with an advisory group and seek any additional guidance that the Commission would have on those options, with the intent then that the outcome of the discussion today would go forward for public workshops and further public discussion. So today I'll briefly review the process and schedule that we've undertaken, talk about the management options that were presented initially to the advisors, describe briefly comments and recommendations that we heard from our advisors, provide you with some staff analysis, and then look for commission discussion and guidance at that time. So we, the department established the advisory group in March of this year. We solicited nominations broadly and got quite a good response. We ended up selecting 12 members for our advisory group, which represent a broad range of perspectives. Today, again, be talking about the staff recommendations from those initial efforts. Then we have scheduled two public workshops later this month, on the 23rd in Port Townsend and the 24th in Seattle. From the outcome from those efforts then would culminate with recommendations being brought before the Commission at your June meeting, with a final action in August. So, as I said, we were successful in getting 12 very qualified candidates for this advisory group with a broad background. We are developing a web page on our agency site that will go live this following week, that will have the information of the advisors as well as recommendations that come out of this meeting today, as well as background information on the topic. So we'll have this information available online so folks can see exactly who the members are. We have Bern Cordes from the Vulcan Group, Dave Fessler, an instructor and involved with the dive community, Caroline Gibson from our Marine Protected Manager. She's with the Northwest Straits Commission. Rhoda Green, who's with the Reef Association and also an instructor. Bill High is a retired NOAA researcher and has some research experience with octopuses. Peter Hudspeth, a NOAA certified diver. Bill Minton has a small dive charter operation here and has been involved with fishing in this region for many years. Pete Naylor has been involved with other activities in the with the agency. Our Rockfish Advisor Group brings a good perspective from a conservation viewpoint. Jana Nichols. Jana is a lead for the Reef Environmental Advanced Assessment Team on the West Coast. Mark Plunkett is with the Seattle Aquarium and is on our committee. Mike Racine is past president for Washington Scuba Alliance and now works on their legislative issues. And Andrea Ritter, who is an avid fisher angler and also working at the North Cascades National Park. So we've got a well-rounded group of advisors that have really invested their personal time on this topic, and we want to definitely thank them for their work to date. So initially, the four management options that the commission provided direction to for the department were provided to that group, and we asked some specific questions at the start of the discussion of those advisors relative to status quo option. Should the department manage giant Pacific octopuses within the current recreational fishing regulations? Option two, should the department promote viewing opportunities in Puget Sound by protecting giant Pacific octopus from recreational harvest? Option three, where are the popular dive sites in Puget Sound that would benefit most from protecting giant Pacific octopuses from recreational harvest? And lastly, where are the popular dive sites in Puget Sound that would benefit from additional protection, and at these sites, what are the appropriate harvest opportunities at these areas? So option four broadens the discussion a bit further than simply focusing on giant Pacific octopuses. So what we did with the advisors is we asked each of the advisors individually to provide the department feedback on these questions, and then we initiated group discussions around those questions as well. During this process, we did not seek consensus from the advisory group, but really we're looking for that broad range of perspectives. And what we heard relative to status quo, we heard some support for that in that that the department should manage giant Pacific octopus according to the abundance and harvest levels. The data indicates that few are being taken. However, we could consider a catch record card for giant Pacific octopus. And lastly, that we could consider some outreach to the dive community for voluntary protection options. Comments we received that were opposed to status quo, some felt that there was some level of protection needed and that rules needed to be consistent for everyone, meaning both dive as well as hook and line recreational harvesters, that there needs additional protection for viewing opportunities. There was some suggestion that we consider a size limit to protect adult females, as well as possible annual limits or catch record cards again. So relative to a complete closure of in Puget Sound for harvesting giant Pacific octopus, we heard that yes, there was some support for that, and that there was little known about the directed dive fishery, and some felt that this would be an action that we should consider. We also heard that there was some support for this and that they would like to see citizen support in monitoring and reporting observations to help the department get additional information. And that divers choose to dive in many sites for viewing wildlife and would see some benefit to protecting GPO on a broad basis. Those opposed to this type of a scenario indicated they thought the resource appeared to be in good shape and that it was too broad a step and that type of an action was not necessary at this time, that we needed to provide more harvest opportunity for our natural resources rather than less, and that we needed to manage for multiple purposes and not to the sole viewing opportunities. Option three, then, looking at popular dive sites that would benefit most from a protection from recreational harvest. In general, we heard comments that we would need to include all octopus species rather than just the giant Pacific octopus, and that I think there was a lack of understanding that the only classified species is giant Pacific octopus. So in effect, currently, Puget Sound or state waters are closed to harvesting other species of octopus. And that some were opposed that many of the most popular shore dive sites are already no-take, and that there was some concern that there may not need to be more added. Relative to option four, then, this was a broadening of protection of other species, not just limited to giant Pacific octopus. We heard that some folks were in, or advisors were in favor of providing protection at some of the most popular dive sites, particularly those where new divers were coming to get certified so that they would have some assurance that there would be a good diversity of species at those sites. We also heard that a full closure, however, allowing some harvest of finfish would be appropriate. And then, again, we heard similar comments here that there's already a number of no-take areas and that we may not need more. We did hear that some of the sites that advisors had talked about had been created for enhanced fishing, and that this could potentially be in conflict with that objective. Others simply stated concerns that it was too broad a scope in terms of broadening beyond giant Pacific octopus, and that there was comments made that there wasn't a particular scientific basis for doing this. So what we did with the advisor group is we asked them to provide us with popular dive sites that they would consider as part of this discussion. And what we did here with this map is we showed the current marine protected areas and then applied the popular dive sites that the advisors identified on this map as well. And so it's somewhat challenging to see here on the screen, but there are current conservation areas. They're identified with the red point indicating that no take is allowed currently at those locations. The blue points indicate marine preserves where there are some limited harvest opportunities allowed. This map also shows Hood Canal, shaded in red, which currently has a closure to harvest of giant Pacific octopuses as well as some other species. And so with the 9 conservation areas, the 16 marine preserves, the advisors identified 29 initial popular dive sites. So what we did then is we took a look at those sites that the advisors had identified, and we overlaid those with our current marine protected areas, And you can see on this slide, highlighted in yellow, those locations that are currently protected with various levels of protection. The way to look at this table is each of the areas are in the left-hand column, and then recreational harvest restrictions by species or species group are in the columns to the right. The red cells indicate that that particular area is closed to the harvest of that species or species group. The green is open to harvest, and the yellow is limited harvest opportunities. So there are seven sites that the advisors identify that currently have protection. I did include the second column from the left as GPO, and that shows that all of those marine protected areas currently have protection in place for GPO, with the exception of the sea cucumber and sea urchin harvest zones. So then with the remaining sites, we asked each of our advisors to consider those sites and indicate which what level of harvest opportunity or protection that they would see for each of these various species or species assemblages. And the numbers in the cells are the percent of the advisors that would support recreational restriction in that at that particular site. And then these were ranked by the level of protection. So what this shows is if you look, for example, at Redondo Beach, 91% of the advisors thought that protection of giant Pacific octopuses at that site was appropriate. And then somewhere around half or more of the advisors thought that protection of the remaining species is appropriate. Also, this shows about half of the advisors supported, the last piece I'd mentioned is about a third of the advisors supported protection for giant Pacific octopuses at seven of these sites, and those are from Day Island down to the Alki Beach West, referred to as the junkyard. So then what we wanted to do is see how this relates to what we might consider popular dive sites. And so we looked at the data from REEF, which is volunteer survey data conducted by volunteer divers. And this data is from the years 2000 through 2011. And what this represents is that just over 11,000 surveys have been conducted in Puget Sound during this time period on about 400 or so dive sites. These top 30 dive sites here represent about 61% of all of the surveys that have occurred during this time. And so of these sites, the sites that are in the green bars with the vertical lines show or represent sites that currently have protection in place for these species. So next what we did was then looked at the Redondo site as the most popular dive site. It was the dive site that the advisors indicated some support for a closure to recreational harvest of all species. Identified that here in the dark green bar to the far left. And then finally, looked at the top seven sites that the advisors recommended for protection of giant Pacific octopus, and those are here identified with the green bars with the diagonal lines. And so what this shows is that of those top 30 sites that are surveyed by the REEF volunteers, and we're using that as a surrogate to represent popularity, we can see that through this look that this would protect about, well, a majority of the sites. And so with this analysis, staff are recommending that the commission consider going forward with four options for public comment at the workshops. And those being option A, which would continue moving forward with a status quo option. An option B that would consider a conservation area, which would be a no recreational harvest of all species at the Redondo Beach site. An option C that would create marine preserves, which would close recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopuses at the seven sites, but would also include Redondo Beach to continue getting public comment for that option. So Redondo Beach, Three Tree Point, Seacrest Park Coves, this would include Coves 1, 2, and 3. It would exclude a fishing pier that's in this area, and it's well marked both on the surface and underwater. Les Davis, Alki Beach Junkyard, Days Island Wall, and Deception Pass. And then finally, option D, we would recommend continuing to move forward with getting public comment on a closure to recreational harvest of giant Pacific octopuses Puget Sound wide. We think that suite of options would allow for a full discussion from the public.
Commissioner Mencken? He's not done, but you want to wait? Okay.
Thank you. Just in closing, would describe next steps in that after today's discussion and any refinements to the options, we would then take those forward to the April 23rd and 24th public workshops. We also would be putting these recommendations, these options, online and soliciting public comment in writing from our webpage. And then we would bring the those options to the commission in June for a discussion with an August commission action. With that.
Okay. Commissioner Mencken?
Last night the Fish Committee met and discussed the proposals by staff to accept these options. We reviewed them in some detail, as you have seen today, and we recommend that the commission accept this as a broader range of options that needs to go before the public.
Thank you. Questions, other comments? Commissioner Jennings?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Of the 12 people on the committee, looks like only 11 voted when we talked about the percentages. Which individual wasn't able to participate?
That was Bern Cordes. He was unavailable.
It does seem like a well diverse group. By my count, 1, 2, 3, 4, six of them are active fishers, consumptive users, as well as associated with diving. So I'm not really surprised with the percentages of the numbers we got, because it's the range of people that we asked to be on this team. But I'm not sure that we had as much, and I did not participate in the discussions, so I'm just looking at it from a distance, but in our conversations yesterday, talking about, for example, consumptive harvest of other species. And one of the species that I was hoping that there would be discussion about is rock scallops, that unlike crabs and shrimp, which breed pretty quickly, and if you catch them, they come back. Rock scallops, by the time they get large enough to really be detected by most beginning and intermediate divers, are several years old. And at popular dive sites currently, I think, are sports fishing regulations allow six per person per day or something to be harvested. So I'm concerned, as an example, with rock scallops at our popular dive sites, if we don't close these to harvest, that when people go to look to see what kind of diversity we have underwater, they'll easily consumed species like rock scallops won't be present. And so that's where I would sort of like to look at how we're managing these sites from a watchable wildlife area perspective. And I'm not sure that what we've captured here really captured that flavor. I am happy to see that it's going to go up on the website so we can get a more diverse perspective and more numbers, because I think looking back at our advisory groups in the past, sometimes the advisory group is fairly split across the board on a particular topic. I'm thinking in the past like lighted NOx or something. But when you put the website up for the general population to put in their perspectives, we saw a very overwhelming perspective on one side or the other that wasn't necessarily reflective of what the advisory committee put out there. So I think that's really nice you're going to be doing that.
Thank you.
Okay. Other comments, thoughts, guidance to give staff? If we don't hear anything, I think that's a blessing to move forward. No objections that I'm hearing. Okay. So go forth and do good.
Thank you.
Okay. We have reached lunch a little earlier than I expected. We're only less than 10 minutes behind schedule, really, because we're going to come back at 1. So let's come back at 10 after 1 to give us a full hour. So if someone would let Donnie Martorello know, we're going to be about 10 minutes late. And we do have an enforcement committee meeting. Is it in the cafeteria?
It's in the director's conference room.
Director's conference room.